Okay. Well, greetings, everyone. Glad to be with you again here in 2026. And the title of the message tonight is Stewarding the Word. Stewarding the Word. This is going to be a challenge for me because I pulled the notes I was using for teaching people how to steward prophetic words out of my training I was doing for that. And I started getting some notes together, and I was just making some changes here and there. And before you know it, I had 7 pages of notes. Well, normally, if I bring a message, I've got 2 pages, sometimes three. So 7 pages are not going to work. So I said, "Lord, help me. I'm going to get this down some." So I started waiting on the Lord about the things that He was showing me, and I was making some changes. I thought I was taking some stuff out and putting some stuff in. I had 10 pages. So I said, "Lord, we got to work on it some more." So we did. We got it down to 5. So I'm going to try to go as quick as I can. But the word is, it's about stewarding the word, how to respond to the word. And it can be the prophetic word, but it's the thing I'm thinking about is what I call the quickened word is when the Holy Spirit bears witness to something. You know, if you hear somebody bringing a message, or they say something, or even if you're just reading the word and all of a sudden it jumps off the page to you, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness. He's quickened the word. He's bearing witness to the word, and that's what I'm talking about when I say quickened word. So what we're going to do is talk about three parts of it. It's part A is valuing the word, B is the problem, and C is the solution. So I'm going to try to move as quickly as I can, but try not to be rushing all at the same time. So anyway, I'm really convinced that there is a lack of understanding, massive lack of understanding in the body of Christ, especially in the West, today in this area of stewarding the Word of God. This is also relates to meditating the Word. But stewarding the word of God, the stewarding the quickened word, the witness of the Holy Spirit with your spirit, with my spirit, or even over a personal prophecy. Stewarding the word. Stewarding the word is important because when the Lord quickens something to you, it's like war's been declared, really. If you get a prophetic word and it's the prophetic, you know it's the Lord, war's been declared. And you need to know that. But the quickened word needs to be handled properly and nurtured and protected and so forth. And it has to be mixed with faith that He provides. And faith is included in the quickened word. He provides everything we need. I'll give you a few definitions as we go along. This first definition is a Greek word. I'm going to butcher it, I'm sure. It's called akouo, AKOUW, but the phonetic of it is akouo, they say. So it's to listen with the idea of stillness and complete attention, to attend to understand, to heed, and obey. You can find this word used in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, and in, Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "And he called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me.'" That was akouo me. "All of you, and understand. Hear and understand." And another thing I was thinking about when I was going over this, and there's also the equivalent of this in Hebrew, is in Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23. "My son, be attentive to my sayings, my word." I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just going by memory. Be attentive to it. Attend to my words. Keep my word. It's life to you. If you will prosper if you do. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Keep it before your eyes. Don't let it escape. And because it's life, it's health to you and health to all your flesh. It's life to you. Guard it with all diligence. Keep it with all diligence, because out of it, out of your heart, flows the issues of life. So keep my, you know, to keep, to heed, to attend to the word. So let's talk about the valuing of the word. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all of your name. Above El Shaddai, above Yahweh, all the names, you know. And so there's several names. I used to have them all memorized, but I don't right now, and I'm not going to do it. But anyway, above all your name, he's valued his word above his name. So we're always talking about, we worship you, we worship your name. That name is above every name. Well, his word's above his name. And so how we respond to the quickened word determines what's going to happen to the word and to us and with us. And God's word has the power to transform us and work through us when it's valued, when it's owned, when it's stewarded. So the word is like the word of a promise. It's promises in the every word. And with promise comes responsibility. With promise comes responsibility. We have responsibility with every promise. And most people don't see it that way because they're still feeding on milk. They haven't moved away from the milk of the word. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the ability is in the word. The life, the Zoe life of the Lord Jesus and of our Father is in the word. It's not in the soil. The heart is the soil, and the word is the seed in the sower, the parable of the sower. You know, Jesus gave these word pictures, these examples, illustrations. I call them word pictures, parables. Parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 13. But the life is in the word, it's in that seed. It's not in the soil. It's in the seed. It's in the word. And the soil creates the condition, the atmosphere, but the energy and the power, the energy of God is in what he said. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And you know, I've been meditating on that some. And I've identified that not only is that correct, but if you don't understand the value of what this parable is about, then you really are going to miss revelation and understanding by the Spirit in all of the Word, all of His Word. All we'll get is our human reasoning and understanding. Okay? But the Word of God is beyond that. It's spiritually discerned. Okay, spiritually understood. But in chapter 4, he's identifying something there when he talks about, if you don't understand this parable, then you, how can you understand anything, any parable? It's the key. He's identifying something that this parable is the key to unlocking. It's understanding the parable, not the parable itself, but understanding the parable is the key. And he illustrates here the nature and the purpose of his word. I value the voice of God. I remember hearing it from the moment I got born again. I love to hear his voice. I really love it. But I value it and I treasure it. But my value for the hearing of his voice has to be tethered to my value of Scripture. Because if I value the voice above Scripture, then I'm very open to deception. You see, because Peter talks about, I didn't write this scripture down, but Peter talks about that we have a more sure word. And it's the written word. It's the word that he brought us. He's talking about the words from Genesis 1 on. That's the most sure word. You know, whenever we talk about it, the word is the eternal word. Now, if you get a prophetic word, that's a temporal word. That's what we call a temporal word. But the written word is more sure. And if you hear a voice speaking something to you that the word is contrary to, the scripture's contrary to, then you're not hearing him. You're hearing something else. So I have to say this. I forgot to mention this in the beginning. You know, most of the framework, all the framework, and probably 50% or 60% of everything I'm bringing you today was passed down to me by a mentor I had, is Prophet Bob Watson over in, he lives in Elon. And he was attending the church that I was attending over there in Chapel Hill. He's an elder there. And he was a mentor to me. So a lot of that came from him. A lot of this did. But it became mine now. So I gave him the credit and I'm done with it. Okay. But the Word of God carries with it the energy of God, the power of God, the faith of God, the hope, all the ability, all of the enabling, all the grace, etc., 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 is in the Word. When he quickens his word to you, everything that you need is there because it's Jesus. That's who he is. He was the word made flesh. So when he speaks to you, it comes in seed form to produce in us through his, when he speaks to you through his quickened word, I'm going to say it that way. Maybe he's quickened something to you. I've said already. Hopefully he has, or he will, but it comes to us in this seed form to produce in us, a harvest. And so, through his energy functioning in it, it's bringing about fruitfulness. Okay, that what he intended, whatever he's intended with his word. And so, the thing I find is most people they go along and they quickened that. Oh, that was so good. And then they move on to the next thing. Oh, that was so good. That's why I tell people, you know, when I bring my messages on Thursdays, go back and watch that. Because I'm just moving along. And you need to be able to pause me. You know, you don't have a pause button right there. I used to wish I had one when I was at Caris Bible College. I needed to pause somebody. You know, it was teaching. Wait a minute, I need to meditate on that a minute. I want to write it down. I want to meditate on it. And that's what you want to do because you want to value it. Because if you don't, then you miss it. You're going to miss it. You're just going to pass it right by, and you'll miss what he had intended for you to bring you breakthrough. Okay, that's it. He doesn't quicken something to you for no reason. And I was speaking to someone the other day. I won't mention the name, but they were talking about how, you know, the Lord shows him something and it shows him this. And I just figured he'd remind me about it if I ever needed to share it with someone. And I got on him about it. I said, "No, you're not valuing the word. Matter of fact, he's going to ask you, what did you do? Remember, I revealed this to you. What'd you do with it? Oh, I forgot. I didn't value it. See, he's going to ask you, what'd you do with this? The quickened word he gave to you. So the heart is the soil, and the seed is the word of God." And he gives us these illustrations, these word pictures in Mark 4 and Matthew 13. And so he wants us to understand the process. Okay, you read those parables, you'll see the process and the purpose for the word being deposited in your life. In Hebrews, go with me to Hebrews 5 verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles, or the elemental principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." Verse 13 says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child." Okay? So what I want to do is just kind of lay a little bit of groundwork to what we're talking about, because this right here is talking about the milk of the word, then there's the meat of the word. You've seen that it's spoken of more about it here in this chapter, but I won't go all into that. But there's three things right here. There are three things. This tells us three things. So the Word of God carries several different roles and assignments with it, see? One is just the milk of the Word. The milk of the Word is the Word that comforts you, that encourages you. And I love those. And I still drink the milk. I still love it. I need it. I need it because I can't swallow the meat without the milk. Sometimes the meat is a little something else. I got to have some. Lord, I need some comforting and encouragement now so I can swallow the meat of the word here. The meat of the word is the thing that challenges you, it provokes you, and it brings about change. See, it really challenges us. So sometimes I need a little bit of encouragement, and it's good to have both, is what I'm saying. Well, but see that meat of the word is transformational. Okay? See, the milk of the word is that encouraging and comforting thing that you really need as part of your foundation. But see that you got to have the meat, you got to move on from that. You can't just have that. You need to have some meat. We grow up out of being a child in the Lord to being growing in it to be, men and women, adults in the Lord. And so the meat of the word is to provoke us, to challenge us. And it's to bring about transformation that his word is intended to do. Now, the third area is the area of promise. And there's over 7,700 promises in the word, in the scripture. 7,700 promises that are yes and amen to us. And but that comes with responsibility. About that. So that's why we want to know, we want the milk, we want the meat, and we want the promise. And we want to understand that the faith is already there for us. He provided it for us to walk in it. I said, let's go to James chapter 1. Says, therefore, verse 21 says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted. I'm reading the New American Standard in that one. I like the word it says, in humility, receive. It's funny, it kind of takes us from being filthy and wicked, boom, to being humble. Well, that's what happened to me. You couldn't be more ungodly than I was, or more wicked, or more filthy. So he took me from being filthy and wicked, ridding myself of filthiness and wickedness. And in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save you, to sozo, deliver, to save, to deliver, to rescue, to prosper, to cause you to be in abundance. I mean, it's all of that. And in humility, that's the condition of the heart. That's why the condition of the heart is important. Because so many times the word can be sown. But if the heart's not ready, if the heart's not humble, then the heart can't hear it. I can bring a word, but sometimes I'm bringing the word to people that are in leadership or they're pastoring or they're leading, they're in ministry, but they don't hear it because they think they already know everything. And the Lord taught me a very good lesson on that one time, so I'm free of that. I mean, I'm going to sit here and listen. Every now and then he has to remind me. I'm going back through the teaching, Andrew's teaching on the book of Romans right now. I'm doing that. I'm going to sit there and listen. I'm taking notes. I'm learning. You understand? So humility is a condition of the heart. The ability, the enabling is in the word, but we can miss it if we're not humble. The life is in the word, it's not in the soil, said that before, but the soil creates that condition in the atmosphere. So the energy of God takes root in a person to illustrate who God is. He's revealing, Jesus wants to reveal himself to us. It's always about revealing more of himself to us. Taking us, if you want him to take you further along, then he wants to reveal more of himself. It requires humility and a desire and a willingness to be intimate with him. So he says in humility, so that's our condition, receiving the word implanted in humility. The word in humility, receiving the word implanted, which is able to save us. It's able to, that's present tense. It's always able to. See, always able to. That means it's a present tense thing. It's always able to produce transformation. Okay, so I'm going to move on from value for this moment. Now I'm going to move on, try to move a little quicker here. And the problem, so with most people, it's like I was saying, you know, it's like Ernestine, Pastor Ernestine was saying here before we got started. She was talking about how she went back and listened to my message from Thursday, and she really enjoyed that. You know, it was good, and Kathy's gone back and listened to it. I'm going to go back and listen to it. But the thing is, see, that's valuing. That's part of valuing the word. Oh, it was so good. You know, this thing came. Oh, that was so good. And all of a sudden, the minister said something. Oh, that was so good too. And then we move on. And it becomes God candy to us. And I said the same thing when I was teaching about the prophetic. People treat it like it's God candy. They don't take it serious. And this is not valuing the word. It's not honoring the word. And it's irresponsible. And if we love, we all seem to love all the touchy tingles, you know, the feelings that accompany the word, you know, and it's nothing wrong with that. I love the word and the message. It was a phrase in that song, that worship song that Pastor Ernestine played, and it was, I'm done chasing feelings. Man, I mean, that's a good word for the body of Christ right there. Be done chasing feelings. Chase Jesus. The feelings that chase you. I don't chase feelings. I can honestly say, I'm not after any feelings, but they chase me. I mean, his presence, I can sense his presence strong right now while I'm speaking to you. It's on me. And I'm feeling it. But I wasn't after the feeling. I just want to be obedient to him. You know? Okay, so there's nothing wrong with having feelings, but that's not what our object of what we're trying to do is. And then once we've done with the tingles, we want to let it go. No. We must value the word more than just having the feelings. Okay? So, as like I was saying before, whenever you receive a prophetic word or a quickened word, an illumination, something he's showing you, when he quickens something to you because there's a deeper revelation he wants to bring to you, there's more. There's always more. And whenever he's bringing anything to you, that's an alarm because you've been called to warfare right there. War's been declared. Guess what's happening? What does the scripture say? Maybe I was supposed to read it and I didn't read it. But in scripture there, it says, maybe I'm going to read it here in just a minute. But it talks about the enemy coming to steal the word, right? Okay, so it's a call to warfare. Well, in 1 Timothy, Paul was talking to Timothy and he says, this charge I entrust to you in verse 18. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Timothy, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. They laid hands on this man and set him in place and prophesied over him, that by those prophetic words you may wage the good warfare. How do you wage good warfare? By the things the Lord's revealing to you, the things that he's spoken to you, the things he's illuminating to you. And by them you waged a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. By rejecting this, by not doing it, some have made shipwreck their faith. Shipwreck. But Paul's instructing Timothy to stand in faith in the words that he's received and in his faithfulness to it, so he could successfully engage in a good fight, the good fight of faith. What's a good fight of faith? I asked the Lord that one time when I was going to teach on it. And it was part of my notes. I said, Lord, what's a good fight of faith? He said, what do you think a good fight is? I said, well, I used to love to fight. And a good fight to me is a fight I win. He said, that's exactly what it is. It's a good fight. And a quickened word to you, something that the Holy Spirit is borne witness to. If he bears witness to the word, or even if there's a prophetic word, it's there to equip you for either the season that you're in right now, or for one that's just ahead of you, or for one that's just down, is further down the road. Sometimes it can be decades down the road, but you don't want to. You want to allow him to equip you now. You may not remember it for 20 years, but you got into it and you meditated on it now. And then, like for me, 30, 40 years down the road, something came up, and the Lord says, "Remember when I gave you this, and you meditated on it, and you took it into your heart. Now this is where we're going to apply it. You got the word, faith came with it. With it, now we're going to put some legs under it. Now this is action. This is the works that goes with the faith. Faith has to have some action. It has to work. It can't just be idle. Well, sometimes he gives you a word, and sometimes you got to wait a while. Well, sometimes he's quickening something to you because he wants to equip you, either for the season you're in right now, or the one just ahead, or one further down the road. Now, let's go back to 1 Timothy. Verse 19, this word shipwreck here is a Greek word. I'm going to butcher this. Noagato, which means stranded or made to suffer. So we don't want to be that. We don't want to miss. I'm providing you with the way of escape, or I'm providing you with strategy for your success, for victory. So we don't want to miss that. Or we'll be stranded without the word. Paul's saying that this is a result of not standing in faith within his word. You know, it's like it's why we need a course correction often. Because say, yeah, I got to understand it. Remember, at the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, says, the thief comes but to, Jesus is speaking. He says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? But I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. I've come that you might have Zoe life, God kind of life. And I don't mean just a little bit. I mean all of it in abundance. But the thief wants to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because if he can steal the word, well, he can get to killing and destroying. If he can steal the word. That's why war's been declared. Because once the word has been quickened, the enemy's not far behind trying to steal it. Our job is to protect the word. So in Matthew 13, 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. John 10, 10. He snatches away what has been sown in the heart. It's been sown in the heart, but he comes and snatches it away. When you don't understand it. Well, why didn't you understand it? Well, you knew he quickened something, but I don't quite understand. Well, now I'm going to wait on the Lord. He's going to reveal it to me. Lord, I'm not saying I know you're going to reveal it to me sometime. No, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to meditate on it. I had a prophetic dream the other night, and I think I've just about got what it means. It was very symbolic. Most of the time when I have a dream from the Lord, it's very clear. But there's been other times when I've had some folks that had symbolic dreams, but he would give me an interpretation. Well, I got the symbolic dream, and I'm not just going to let it settle, go, just ignore it. I'm meditating on it, and I think I'm just about there, because I'm not going to let the enemy come and snatch whatever it is the Lord wants to reveal to me about it. See, Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. And those are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So this is Jesus explaining the parable to the disciples because they didn't understand. And I was right there with them. I mean, when he got to verse 14, I'm all ears, Lord, because I didn't understand either. So, I mean, he basically. Another version of what was said in Matthew 19. The enemy comes, he comes to immediately to take away the word that was sown in them. And then he says, and these are the ones that sowed on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear it, immediately receive it with joy. Oh boy, that was so good. That was, oh man, I know that was the Lord. I could, the Holy Spirit just bore witness to me about this right here. It lit up in me. That's important. But they have no root in themselves because they didn't let it take root. Didn't meditate in it, let it take root, but it endures for a little while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. What do you mean by that? Well, so you get a word about something. Let's say at one time I would get these, every time a prophet came into town at this church I was attending, they would call me out from the crowd and prophesy all this incredible prosperity, financial prosperity over me. And when they did, my business would begin to come under attack. I mean, I'm losing money, them talking about how I'm going to prosper. And I remember after about 8 years of that, and the pastor said, I'm bringing in this team of prophets, and we're going to do a presbytery, a three-day presbytery. I said, I ain't coming. You know, I tell you what, I'll come. I'm on the worship team. I'll be there for that. I'm walking out after that. He said, why? I said, man, my business can't take it no more. Because I didn't understand how to steward the word. That's when I began to learn about it. But see, that's what happens. I didn't have root in myself. So when tribulation and persecution came on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Well, that word, those words about the prophetic, that I was going to prosper, they had no meaning to me no more. Because I was losing instead of gaining. But see, when I learned how to treasure the word and steward the word, then I began to take ground that had been stolen from me. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, verse 18. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones, those who hear, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown, the seeds that were sown on good soil of the heart, the heart's ready, the heart's humble, the heart's hungry. I don't care if I have planted 100 churches. I don't care if I have been to Charis Bible College. I don't care if I have pastored. I don't care if I am a prophet or I don't care if I've traveled the world ministering. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for your word. I want everything you want me to have. That's good soil. See, when the word is sown among good soil, these are the ones that hear and accept it and value it and treasure it. And it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, this applies to the eternal word, that's the word, written word, or temporal word, a prophetic word. Okay? But the enemy knows that if you steward his word, you will win. If you will steward his word, if you will treasure it, you will experience breakthroughs, you will experience transformations, you will inherit and receive the promises, and you'll be more confident for your next step of walking faith. I'm ready now. I've got a taste of victory. Now I know. What I know is everything I need is in the revelation he wants to show me. It's already there. All I got to do is respond to it. All I got to do is let it. All I got to do is consent to it, cooperate with it. And you're going to experience more and more freedom. Freedom from all the insecurities and fears that you have, you know. That's the enemy wants to come and steal the word because he's scared to death. Because once you begin to steward the word, you have to steward the word. You can hear finding about what our true identity is. And I've taught on this and I am teaching on this. And about who he is in us, who we are in him and all that's good. That's head knowledge. But he wants to keep you from walking in it, from experiencing it. And the only way he can do it is to steal the word. If you get the word planted in there and it starts in good soil, oh Lord, things are going to begin to change. I mean, we can't look. It's ain't about what happened last month or 10 years ago. What I did this and I did that. No. And you know, I recommend a great book to you right now. It's called Effortless Change by Andrew Womack. He talks about is really about stewarding the word, but he's talking about meditating the word and allow the word do all the change, all the transformation. The word will do it. It's full of power. Okay, let's go to the last part. It's called the solution. I don't know how long we'll be going, but here we go. Let's look at some ways to steward the word that's spoken over you, or a steward the word that he's quickened to you. Something he's made alive to you in order to see that word fulfilled in your life. It's easy to receive a word. Stewarding the word requires working faith. You have to actually do something. You're not to sit around and wait for him to say it again, because he might not. Okay? So there's another definition here I'm going to give you here in just a minute. In Revelation 22, verse 7, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this the prophecy of this book." Keeps. What does it mean? Well, I'm keeping it. I mean, I got about 20 Bibles somewhere over here. I keep my Bibles in my phone right now, but I got the book of Revelation in there. What do you mean keep it? Oh, well, here's another scripture. John chapter 14, verse 23. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Same thing. And that Greek word used in both instances here, in many instances in the New Testament, is that word tereo. And I shared about this some on one of my Thursday sessions. But this word keeps is translated from the word Greek word tereo. Okay? And it's used throughout the New Testament. But, you know, this scripture here says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. How are you going to love him? You have to receive his love. You know, I let him love it. I just spoke on that this past Thursday. Allowing him to love us. Have a revelation of his love. Because if you have a revelation of his love, you will keep his word. That's how the faith, you want to see what happens? When you get a revelation of his love, the faith in that causes you, the works is you keep his word. You will treasure his word. What's the three principles of this word tereo? The first principle is to watch over the word, to meditate on the word. Watch over it so they won't, it can't be lost, it can't be stolen. I'm not going to forget about this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a notepad out and I'm going to write it down, and then I'm going to meditate on it, and I'm going to write down everything I receive about it. You know what? I don't write it down anymore, but what I do is I use Word document and I type. You know, I type it in there. I type what I get. But that's what it is. Watch over it. Watch over. The second principle is to guard it as to ward off an enemy. No. That thought's not coming here. No, that vain imagination, I cast that down in Jesus' name in Corinthians. Casting down of imaginations that is exalting itself against his word or against him or against Jesus' right to rule in my life. Lord, I bring it into submission. Every thought, I'm bringing into submission. No, that's not from you, Lord. I'm not receiving that. Second principle, to guard the word, ward off an enemy. The third principle is to bring to action or to bring something to its full completion and gain the reward. It's to meditate in it and to value it and to treasure it and to continue in it. I mean, I got stuff that I'm meditating on that he spoke to me in 1973. I just keep bringing it up and I hold it up before the Lord and just, I always worship him about it and thank him for it and just meditate on it. Next thing you know, he shows me something new about it. And I write that down. Oh, and then I look at all my notes and I'm going through my notes. I remember when you showed me that. Oh, I remember when you showed me that. That was in 1982. And oh, Lord, you showed me this in 2002. I put the date down here. I remember, Lord. See, I remember. But it's about doing it, you know. John chapter 7, verse 17 says, if anyone has a heart that's willing to do his will, then he will know You have knowing. I talked about that. I taught on that Thursday. I have a knowing. It'll all become fact to you. That's faith. It's faith. So the key to all this is humility. Right? James, listen, I haven't given this justice. I mean, it's probably so much more I could say, but I'm going to end here in just a minute. In James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, and we'll talk about humility. He says, but he gives more grace. What? We can experience more grace? Apparently so. So there he says, therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He gives more grace. Right? I mean, I don't remember exactly where it is, but Peter said one time, he says, in the beginning of one of his letters, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Be multiplied to you. That's how I'll end an email. Sometimes I'll say, grace and peace be multiplied. You know? 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to elders. Clothe yourselves with humility. That's how you get more grace. I don't care who you are. For you to go to the next step, I mean, for me to go to the next step, for Pastor Ernestine to go to the next step, for Kathy to go to the next step, for any of us to go to go further. I'm not interested in making a plateau here. If we're not climbing, we're like a helicopter. If we're not climbing and maintaining lift, we're a rock. And we're fooling ourselves. We're trying to go on revelation received last year or last week or last whatever. No, it's a living, breathing, feeding on Him, abiding in Him. So, likewise, you younger, be subject to the elders, clothing yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Same thing James said. He opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. If you are not in a place of humility, whether you realize it or not, you're in pride. And that's a problem. Because your ears are dull and your heart is cold. And you only get just a little bit here and there. It's all about being humble. And we want to treasure His word, want to value His word, steward the word, steward Him, steward His word, because He is His word. I'm going to pray for us now. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that you're so good, that you are faithful. All we have to do is make ourselves available to you, because your word says, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. It's not in our doing, it's in our yielding, surrendering to you and allowing you, Lord, allowing you. So we want to steward your word, value your word, treasure, because it's valuable to you. That you would even reveal something to us is incredible to me. How you treasure, how you love us so much. So I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We're blessed. We're your favorite. And you only know increase. You only want us to increase. You don't want us hovering. There's no hovering. Lord, you don't want us sitting still. You want us to go further into you and to grow in the knowledge, the revelation knowledge of you. And I thank you for that, Lord, and speak blessing over all your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we can open up to questions, Q&A if you want to.